It all starts with a root.
More can you go?
An organism.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
A living, breathing feeling.
Bring on to the other side.
A being that comes to life. This living, breathing being is rock and roll. And this is Roots of Rock, podcast edition. Here's your host, John Tompkins.
Hey, I'm Sean Tompkins. Welcome to this month's edition of Roots of Rock. Have you ever heard of the Willowdale neighborhood in Toronto? It's one of these places that's kind of pumped out a lot of famous and semi-famous people per capita more than a lot of other places. You know, a guy like David Clayton Thomas, lead singer of Blood, Sweat, and Tears, is from there.
What goes up must come down. Spinning wheel, got to go round. Talking about your troubles, it's a crying sin.
Famous Vancouver Canuck goalie Kirk McLean is from there. Howie Mandel from America's Got Talent and Deal or No Deal. He's from there.
Oh, whoa. You know what that's called? A mariachi.
Oh, God.
But the two people that I really want to talk about that are from Willowdale, Alex Lifeson and Geddy Lee. Alex Lifeson, guitarist for Rush, started the band in 1968. He started it with a bass player by the name of Jeff Jones and a drummer by the name of John Rutsey. After their very first performance, Jeff Jones left the band and was replaced with Alex Lifeson's Willowdale buddy and childhood friend, Geddy Lee. They stuck with that trio lineup from about 1971 on for a few years. They released a couple of songs, but record companies didn't really pay that much notice. So the band actually started their own label called Moon Records in Canada. They released their self-titled full album in 1974. They still didn't really get a whole lot of love locally, but a radio station in Cleveland, Ohio, called WMMS, started playing Rush. Now, WMMS is kind of a legendary station in the States. They're a leader station. They're what's known as a leader station. If they chose a band to play, other stations would start to follow them. And I actually tracked down the woman who was the music director at the time that Rush broke. And in fact, she is the one credited with giving Rush their big break. Her name is Donna Halper. Check it out. Here's an interview that I did with her earlier in the week. And she has some really cool stories about her time at WMMS and her role in helping Rush make it big. Dr. Donna Halper, thanks so much for joining us on Roots of Rock today. Can you take us back to the time in history when you were working at WMMS in Cleveland and you heard of this little band at the time called Rush?
Well, once upon a pond in a kingdom far away, I had the reputation in radio as somebody who always gave a shot to new artists. I liked to play new music. I mean, I had been a DJ at another station before I got to WMMS, and I had made a lot of friends in the Canadian music industry and in music industries in England and various other places, because back then playing imports was part of what a good DJ at a progressive station did. And those friendships really stood me in good stead, because when an interesting new band came out, they'd send me a copy of the record, and in many cases long before anybody in the States got it, because they knew I'd give it some airplay if it was any good. So I had already made friends with record promoters at Canadian labels, and I had played some of their stuff before. So it was not a surprise to me when a guy named Bob Roper sent me this record. It was kind of a homegrown record. And he said, you know, these guys, we got the record up here. They're from Toronto. We think they've got some possibilities, but kind of not ready for prime time. On the other hand, he said, you know, I heard some potential. Let me know what you think. And so I put the record on the turntable. It was vinyl back in those days. And I knew immediately, okay? I I put the needle down on Working Man, and yeah, I knew immediately. I thought it was just a perfect record for Cleveland. And as it turned out, I was right. And I ran it downstairs to the DJ who was on the air, and he played Working Man, and immediately the phones lit up.
Donna is truly an amazing lady, and I'm going to post the full interview that I had with her as part of the Roots of Rock Jam Session podcast that will be out shortly. So for more on the beginnings of Rush and Donna's role in that, make sure to subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or whatever podcast player you use. You can also check it out on the 1067rock.ca website. Now, back to Rush. Drummer John Rutsey left the band soon after the release of their first album, due to complications from diabetes hampering him from being able to tour properly. After Donna Halper at WMMS gave Rush their big break, they steadily gained popularity. But it was their fourth album where they truly had commercial success. That fourth album went platinum in Canada.
Strange things I know. Use the key and lock the door.
Mercury Records, the band's US label, nearly dropped Rush before that fourth album dropped. But that record kind of saved them because it was so commercially successful. It peaked at number 5 on Canadian album charts and number 61 on the US Billboard Top LP chart. There's a book called 1001 Albums to Hear Before You Die. That album's in there. You've now heard one song off of it, if no others. And if you haven't heard the rest, go out, get it, and listen to it. Right now. Before lightning strikes you dead. Or something like that. Or wait till the show is done, then head out and get it. That album not only was a commercial turning point for the band, but it was a turning point musically for Rush. After that, their music would get a bit more progressive and get into the prog rock realm of things. Two albums followed, A Farewell to Kings and Hemispheres. More progressive and obscure tastes began to really manifest in Rush's music. And the record companies hated that fact. Until the band's albums started selling even better. See, the more the band became progressive, their album sales actually increased. A Farewell to Kings would become Rush's first certified gold album.
And the men who hold high places must be the ones who start to mold a new reality closer to the heart, closer to the heart. Blacksmith and the artist.
Rush almost always works in this way during songwriting. Alex Lifeson and Geddy Lee write the music and play the guitar, bass, and sing, and Neil Peart plays drums and writes the lyrics. Closer to the Heart, that song that we just heard, was the first song where a non-member co-wrote the lyrics. Peter Talbot was his name, and he was a friend of Neil Peart's. Hey, this is Roots of Rock, and I'm Sean Tompkins. Roots of Rock is a show where we trace the history and influences of the best music ever made, rock and roll. This month's feature artist is Rush. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to find out who influenced Rush and what inspired them to make the music that has made them the legends in the world of rock and roll that they are. Stick around.
You're listening to Roots of Rock, podcast edition.
Hey, I'm Sean Tompkins. Welcome back to Roots of Rock. This month's artist is Rush. And back in September 2014, Guitar World magazine ran an interview with Alex Lifeson and Geddy Lee, where they asked them to list their biggest influences, musically, instrument-wise, songwriting, whatever. So this segment wasn't really hard for me to figure out because of that. straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Geddy Lee had some really cool stuff in there. Bands like Jethro Tull.
To be thick as a brick.
King Crimson. And Yes, the band Yes was a huge influence on Geddy and Rush in general, especially, remember when I mentioned back on their fourth album how the band took a turn musically into a more progressive rock sound? Yes was one of the bands that they really modeled themselves after. Back in that Guitar World interview, Alex Lifeson also talked about songs like All Along the Watchtower by Jimi Hendrix.
No reason to get excited.
My Generation by The Who.
Why don't you all fade away? Don't try to dig what we all say.
And both guys, both Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson, mentioned Shape of Things by the Yardbirds, which Rush actually released a cover of later on. Here's a little taste of the cover.
Soon, I hope that I will find thoughts deep within my mind that won't disgrace my kind.
And now, here's the original by the Yardbirds.
Just teach me to despise. Will time make man more wise? Here, within my lonely frame, my eyes just hurt my brain.
Yardbirds were where Jeff Beck became famous, who Alex Lifeson and Geddy Lee both cited as an influence. They also both cited Jimmy Page and Led Zeppelin. Check out this quote from Alex Lifeson in particular about how much Jimmy Page meant to him as a guitarist. He said, and I quote, "Of any guitarist, Jimmy Page was my biggest influence. I wanted to look and think and play like him. Zeppelin had a heavy influence on Rush during our early days. Page's loose style of playing showed an immense confidence, and there are no rules to his playing. I met Jimmy Page at a concert in Toronto in 1998, and I was acting like a kid, all googly-eyed. I was freaking out, and my hands were shaking. I was so thrilled to meet him because his work meant so much to me." End quote. If you're a dedicated Roots of Rock listener, you will remember something from a few episodes ago called the Bo Diddley Beat. Remember it? It goes something like this. It's that boom, 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 bah. You've heard it a million times and you know it. And especially if I've described it and you remember it from past episodes, you've probably picked up on it in many songs since. We're going to take one more quick break, and when we come back, we're going to hear from one of Rush's biggest influences, especially in their early days. And that influence used a Bo Diddley beat in one of their songs that Rush actually later covered. Stick around to find out who that is.
Roots of Rock with Sean Tompkins. Podcast edition.
I'm Sean Tompkins. Welcome back to Roots of Rock. I always like to say that you can really tell who an artist is influenced by looking at who they cover. And on Rush's first album, they did a cover of a Buddy Holly song called Not Fade Away. That song happens to be a really popular song for classic rock bands to cover. The Grateful Dead had it as a staple of their live performances. Same goes for guys like Elvis Costello, and even the Rolling Stones had one of their first hits with that song. I'm gonna love you night and day. They really emphasized that Bo Diddley beat that we were talking about. The original version, the Buddy Holly version, it used the Bo Diddley beat, but it had a bit of a variation on it, bit of a twist. See if you can pick up what Buddy Holly and the Crickets did with Not Fade Away and that Bo Diddley beat.
I'm gonna tell you how it's gonna be. Bop, 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 bop. Are you gonna give your love to me? Bop, 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 bop. I wanna love you night and day. Bop, 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 bop. You know my love will not fade away.
See what I mean about how Buddy Holly and the Crickets did that bit of a twist with the Bo Diddley beat? Just a slight variation on that boom, 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 bah. An amazing song, though, especially reinforced by the fact that heavy hitters like the Rolling Stones and Rush both released successful covers of that song. Take that rock and roll sensibility and catchy Buddy Holly songwriting simplicity. Mix in some of the bluesy, gritty rock and roll of bands like Cream, The Yardbirds, and Led Zepp. Then add some prog rock elements of bands like Pink Floyd, King Crimson, and Yes. And you end up with a recipe for one of the best and most successful Canadian bands of all time. And we all know about Rush, and they got their big break because of someone like Donna Halper, who was willing to take a chance on them and play their music when not many others would. She heard something in their music that struck her as something special, and we're all better for it. I'm Sean Tompkins, and you've been listening to Roots of Rock. Thanks for hanging out. Rock and roll! Hey, you've obviously been listening to the podcast edition of Roots of Rock. So glad you found us. Don't forget to hit up the subscribe button on whatever podcast platform you found us on to begin with. And if you're listening to us straight off of one of the Rogers Rock websites, again, thanks for listening. But if you like what you hear, head over to the Apple Podcast Player on your iPhone or Google Music on Samsung or whatever your favorite podcast app is on whatever phone you're on. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you can catch all the cool bonus content that we have planned for the podcast. Oh, and one more thing, please, if you like what you hear, don't forget to leave a rating and a review and help us spread the word. Tell your friends, your family, your local grocery store clerk, your dog, your cat, your budgie, tell them all. Thanks. Catch you next time.